What happens in the sky affects life down here on Earth. The celestial compass shows you how and guides your way with astrology you can use from professional astrologer Kathy Beal. Every episode features her light-hearted, practical forecasts and navigational tips, blended with humor, optimism, and a love of patterns, symbolism, and pop culture references. Kathy translates technicalities into concepts that apply to real life. You'll learn how the current moment ties to where we've been, from the recent past to cycles that last happened years ago, and get a look at where we're heading. And much more, from special topics to special guests. The Celestial Compass, enlightening, entertaining, and empowering. Here's your host, Kathy Beal.
Greetings, Earthlings. This is Kathy Beal of EmpowermentUnlimited.net. We're recording this on the equinox. So happy spring to all y'all in the Northern Hemisphere. Happy fall for those of you down under. This is a week unlike anything that we have ever lived through. I usually update the forecast at the beginning of the show, and I really encourage you to look at the monthly forecast and the Aries New Moon forecast at my site, empowermentunlimited.net, and at omtimes.com. This is an incredibly energizing time. Lots of stuff bursting into being, situations bursting into a new form. My inspirational image for the week in my weekly podcast was a bunch of runners lining up to race down a track they had never been on before. The Aries new moon is the first of two Aries new moons. Next month, we'll have one at the very end of the sign. This one is at the very beginning of the sign. It's motivating, challenging, catalytic, pushing us to action, lighting fires inside of people, and just before two bodies change signs. One of them, Mars, planet of action, the superhero of the zodiac, cosmic first responder, which rules Aries, is on the 25th, finally clearing out of the sign of Gemini, which he's been traveling through since the end of August. Gemini is communication. It's things that move through the air. It represents agreements, papers, documents, texts, email. Some of these things might have been in the news lately. And in your own life, there's something that is now being culminating and moving into a new form as Mars moves into Cancer, where he's kind of like a superhero wearing a frilly little apron and stomping around in his anti-gravity boots, trying to cook for the people that he loves. So it's a kind of clunky, somewhat awkward, nurturing form, but bringing with it a willingness to fight for what we love and what we care for. And right around the same time, the big event occurs, which is Pluto, the planet that deals with power, among many other issues, finally clearing out of Capricorn, where it's been since January 2008, and entering the sign of Aquarius for 2.5 months for the first time since the end of the 18th century. Nobody alive has lived through this before, and we're already seeing some early warning signs of what this might be bringing. The next few months put us at a doorway where we will see how power is going to be redistributed in friendships, in communities. There could be a bit of banding together against entrenched interests going on. Technology is increasingly an issue. I don't know if you've been playing with chatbots or AI in some ways. We're going to be getting a taste of what will be more in our face next year. And then starting in 2024, what we'll be going through for the next 20 years, so into 2044. Now, It's really, this ties wonderfully with the timing of today's show, because the United States has been having its Pluto return. It has Pluto, at least in the Declaration of Independence chart, Pluto at the end of Capricorn, and it will be there again. We get to go through it one more time. But we already have some historical reference for what happened when we were founded with Pluto in Capricorn, and then what happened when Pluto moved into Aquarius, which is the lead-in to my guest, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation. We're going to be talking about the big picture of what is happening astrologically with the United States, largely involving Pluto, but a lot of other things are going to come into it, not just right now, but at other points in history, because if you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it. My guest is astrologer Judith Cole of Stars Over Washington. She's the astrologer artist who writes on national politics at Stars Over Washington via an astrological lens and with a common good pro-democracy viewpoint. A native Georgian, she now resides in Raleigh, North Carolina. Welcome, Jude.
Hi, Kathy. Good to be with you.
Let's start with Pluto and when Pluto came on the scene.
Yeah, that's a good start.
Okay.
And you're talking about the discovery of Pluto in 1930.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, of course, 1930 opens the gate to all the terrible things that happened in the 1930s with Hitler and the 1940s. The chart that I use for the discovery of Pluto, I think, is the generally accepted chart. It's for February 18th, 1930, Flagstaff, Arizona, at that observatory, and at 4 p.m. MST. And that has three Leo rising and 23 Aries at midheaven. And Pluto is in 12th house, retrograde at 17 Cancer 45. So whenever I want to look back and kind of give a historical context, I look at things like, when was Pluto in our time exactly opposite that discovery Pluto degree? And that was in 2017 and 2018. And of course, we think of who? Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. I'm also thinking, what did you say the midheaven was? What Aries?
Midheaven is 23 Aries 15.
So Jupiter is going to be going over that real soon.
Mm-hmm.
That ought to be interesting.
It's a good chart to have, a good horoscope that you can use for things like transits and, progressions and that sort of thing. And, of course, Pluto is in Cancer from 1914 to 1939. And Reinhold Edbertin, in his book, gives Pluto in Cancer as the magician. And, of course, everybody knows Pluto in Capricorn, he gives as the dictator. So that's the rise of all this dictator news and everything that we're hearing in the different countries being taken over and the strong arm paternalism, which we can also get into a little bit later too. And that relates to 2017 when Pluto reached the 17 to 18 Capricorn degree. Are you familiar with that?
That was,
in 2017.
I remember
right.
What was going on there, yes.
Yeah, right. Well, the thing is, in 1993, we had the great conjunctions of Uranus and Neptune at that degree. And if I use midpoint pictures a lot. Maybe you know that. I don't know if you know. But Noel Till gives Uranus transit Pluto in 2017, Trump's first year in the White House, as the big picture commands a certain course of action, very little option to do otherwise. So that is the energy that we're feeling. We've been feeling it, with Trump in particular.
Mm-hmm. And he's got, this is 17 degrees that you're saying?
Yeah, 17 to 18. There were three. There were three conjunctions of Uranus and Neptune. And Uranus and Neptune are the newer order planets.
Right. And he's got Uranus at 17 Gemini, so that was in aspect, although not a comfortable aspect.
Okay,
and now we've already gotten more technical than I think probably 80% of the people listening are going to get, although I find this fascinating.
Well, you know, that's what I was afraid of, because, I'm always relating current back to historical events, because eclipse cycles and historical events time out with each other. You know, they resonate. Always say, history doesn't repeat, but it does rhyme. And that's what we get when we study eclipses. And I find the solar and the lunar eclipses very helpful for current day, but also to relate it back to the energies that were going on, say, during the Hitler era. And that's what we're feeling. That's what we're having, the fascism and also the Nazism.
So Pluto's at the gateway to the 30s. And then during the 30s, there are eclipses that we now have recurrences, or at least we have of coming up now. And then additionally, Uranus in Taurus is also something that happened in the 30s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so we've got multiple different things happening or recurring or being triggered from that decade in time present.
Yes. And right now we're in the Ceres series 6 south, which happened, October. I have allergies to pollen. I'm sorry. October 25th, 2022. And that's the series that we're in now. And, that's forcefully taking control. And the energy that has expressed that way now is when the MAGA Republicans took over the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 1930s, it was a different tale. It was, it was Hitler rising.
And Mussolini and Stalin.
Yeah. Yes.
All those things together. So now we have Bolsonaro, who was booted out.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, let's go back to the notion of Pluto. Pluto in Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
When Pluto first moved into Capricorn in 2008, there was a financial collapse, and banking regulations were put into place that then the Republican Congress decided it wanted to get rid of. And now, as Pluto is nearing the end of its major time in Capricorn, we have a bank collapse that involves behavior that those regulations would have prohibited. So the whole issue of regulation is back up again. Pluto in Capricorn can mean other things too, though, right? What else have you observed?
Yes. Capricorn is a sign of government, law, and business. So there's Pluto in Capricorn affecting those realms. And like you say, there was the crash, I call it Bush-Cheney heist of 2008, when Pluto was entering Capricorn. And then now at the end, we have another one, and it relates to business and investment. And that's exactly what Pluto in Capricorn, as far as the financial realm, that's what it's been. Into Aquarius, people expect a big shift, a big improvement, and I hope, but I think it'll take a few years before we really know.
Well, because Pluto's going to be retrograding back into Capricorn this summer, and then again next year it'll be finishing up.
Right. So I think until the summer, or in the summer, it'll still be banking and, all that stuff. We'll be hearing about it, and it'll seem to go away maybe, but then it'll come back. Mm-hmm. So all the Capricorn things. And, of course, Capricorn is a sign of control and, you know, wanting to control. And that kind of plays into the current sixth south eclipse, which is forcefully taking control.
So that lines up with the extremism that's happening in a state, say, like Florida, where education's just being flipped on its head. It goes with the book banning, with, okay, now we're going to basically outlaw certain types of people.
Sure. Well, there's more to that, though, because of the Neptune opposite U.S. Neptune.
Right.
Have you been paying attention? Because that's persecution. That's racial and religious persecution with anti-Semitism. I have to throw in misogyny because of the women's issues. And, of course, it's a clash of ideals between the generations. And it's the Virgo-Pisces axis, which is the victim-savior axis. So U.S. Neptune, 1776, was in Virgo, and now everybody pretty much knows that Neptune's been in Pisces. A lot of contagion, a lot of secrecy, surveillance, you know, all those issues.
Neptune was in Pisces when the GOP was formed. So that's a factor, too. And
Republican Party had a Neptune return, and it depends on which chart you use for the party. You know, there are two or three that you can use. I like the one that has Neptune at 14 Pisces plus a few minutes, because when you round up, the Sabian symbol is a lady in fox fur, which I think relates very much to, you know, Fox News and the Republican Party.
All right. We've got a little cosmic coincidence going on here. And now it's time for our first break. So hang on, everybody. We have lots more to say about all this.
The cutting edge of conscious radio. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Want help with your own celestial compass? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, for Astro Insight forecasts for each week, month, and new and full moon. Want to explore the personal impact? Make a decision? Understand another person? It is possible. Click the Services tab to book a personal session with me. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited
for summer break because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet.
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Celestial Compass. We're talking today with Jude Cole, the astrologer behind Stars Over Washington. And we're talking specifically about recurrences in the astrology of the United States. And we've got a lot of stuff going on right now. We just discussed, or began to discuss, that relates back to the 1930s from many directions and in many ways. But let's go back to the very beginning, actually, to when the Declaration of Independence was signed. What do you make of that Pluto in Capricorn at that moment?
Well, it's opposing Mercury, if you're using the July 4th, 1776 chart. And, of course, I've always related that to total surveillance, you know, all our issues with privacy and that sort of thing. And when Pluto returned to that degree, I always look at the original aspect of that planet. So every time Pluto returned, which was three times all through 2022, depending on which chart you use, then Pluto again is opposing natal Mercury, So we had a lot of things going on last year, all through last year. And now, you know, it's not that the Pluto return, the last one, it's not that it's over. You know, it has happened. That's a new phase in late Capricorn. Usually it's around 27 to 28 Capricorn in most charts that you use for America. I tend to look at the founding of America as a process. So there are several other charts that can be used. Include one of my favorites is the Perpetual Union chart. So that gives you a later Pluto in Aquarius. So if you look at those charts, you can do Pluto returns to that. And so it goes on. It's not over.
Oh, no. Well, what was the Perpetual Union chart? When was that? What is that capturing?
Pluto then was at, let me see, 5 Aquarius, Vera 3.
Okay.
Perpetual Union was the vote for Perpetual Union to be the United States of America.
And not
which
just
to me.
Okay.
Right.
After the Confederate Articles of Confederation. Then.
Yes, okay. It was an agreement attached to the Articles of Confederation. And United States is important because of all the seditious talk that we have now. And that's one reason why I think that it's an important chart to keep an eye on. And Pluto was at 5 Aquarius 03, and it was sandwiched between the Sun and Mercury. So...
Oh, so there's a kind of a progression already right there.
A midpoint picture.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's very informative.
We'll be coming back. It'll hit 5 Aquarius again in, 3 years? In a few years.
I made a note of it. Of course, I can't find my note now that you ask me.
Well, I will find that while we're talking. But soon, all right? Obviously, soon.
Yeah, in the next few years.
Looks like it's 2027.
Yeah.
Yep. February, January. Oh, I get it for my birthday in 2027. Won't that be fun?
Oh, okay.
Right on my Chiron. Whoopee. Anyway. So what we're seeing happening now is it's not a single event, but it's something with a very long tail that's developing for quite a while.
Well, karmic, of course, because it's Pluto anyway. So 248-year orbit, so that's karmic.
So can you extrapolate anything in the progression of Pluto in Capricorn at the time that the Declaration of Independence was signed?
I can tell you what I have always thought. I don't know if it's true. I'm not a historian, but, you know, I study. I have always felt like Pluto in late Capricorn retrograde was control from abroad. And, you know, possibly just go ahead and say, well, okay, the British Army, you know. because we did go, we were into the revolutionary times. So,
mm-hmm.
And
so
this
was our saying, we're breaking from you.
Hopefully, yeah. Well, some people think that we never did. Some people think that we actually didn't. That's just something that they decided on. You know, George Washington elected the time of Cornwallis's surrender, right? He decided on 11 a.m. And okay. Cornwallis didn't show up. He was too embarrassed, I guess. And he feigned illness, or maybe he was ill. Maybe it made him ill to have to surrender the sword. But so he sent an underling to surrender that day. And it was done, but there are those that think that that was not actually, it was just decided on to end the war, you know, to get the war over with, and that there were still ties. Well, of course there were still ties. You know, how could there not be? Because until the Revolution, a lot of Americans considered themselves to be British. You know, I have those ancestors, don't you?
I don't think I go back that far.
Oh, okay.
But I see your. Well, no, that makes complete sense. So, all right. So there was this. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Mm-hmm. Intactness. Well, that kind of is an interesting thing. But I was curious more about going from Pluto in Capricorn, and then when the perpetual union is established, then we're in Aquarius. Is there any kind of shift in the way things ran that you're aware of that kind of tracks the symbolism of that?
Well, you know how, 2 days from now, Pluto sticks his hoof, I call it, into Aquarius on March 23rd, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did that in 1777.
Right.
And then, sorry, my allergies had to have a sip of water.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. So, you know, I've got notes somewhere about all the events that happened. All you have to do is just look back at that year. And it's, you know, it's revolutionary. Mm-hmm. Revolutionary times. And just if you want to see the different, you know, one side won, the Patriots lost, Brandywine, you know, all of those things. And then in early 1778, I believe it was, the state of Georgia, there were 13 colonies, the state of Georgia and the state of New York created their constitutions. So there were things like that, you know, Capricorn things, government things. But then when my voice is giving way, Kathy.
When Pluto moved into Aquarius, then that's when the notion of the states working together started coming? Is that what you're trying
to
say?
Yes, the humanitarian, the universalism, that sort of thing. You know, the Enlightenment principles. Yeah, and the Enlightenment principles that we're actually founded on, rather than religion.
Okay, so that's something that's coming back around, which, if it were the only thing going on right now, might be a great thing to hang your optimism on.
Yeah.
And that does bode well for a lot of the collective issues heading more in that way once more monsters come up from the deep of Pluto and Capricorn back and forth for a couple of years.
Yes. Human rights. A good thing. And the way I look at it is that astrology tries to describe, you know, reflects things on Earth, and just it's a mixture. You know, it's never just all good or all bad. There's always going to be a mixture. So even when something negative happens, there's almost always something positive about it or something positive in the world. So, you know, I think the slog through Aquarius for Pluto is going to be a long, a long slog. I believe it's 20 years. Have you looked?
Yeah, it's there 20. till 2040.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So basically 21 years. So we'll have plenty of time to figure that out.
Right. And there are other, so we're not the only spot on the planet that was previously affected by this shift or currently being affected by it. And it's, so looking at what happened in France could be very helpful and interesting. And what's going on now, people have taken to the streets because they don't like the fact that the retirement age has been raised by 2 years. And Macron just survived a no confidence vote. So that's flagged as an issue. And it has to do with money.
Yep, Capricorn, but it's human rights. They want the right to still retire at 62.
Mm-hmm. So it's a mix. So that's something that's going to be coming up again. And it's not a coincidence to me that we have this ongoing fight over Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. When Social Security was established, the last time Uranus was in Taurus in the 30s. So,
It was.
Same issues, different or similar.
Cycling, I was going to say. Yeah, cycling around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they cycle around so that we can deal with them better. You know, if we didn't deal with it well years ago, then we have another chance.
Or even if we did, we have another chance.
Or even if we did, we can improve it. Because, you know, karmic progress is what I usually will deal with eclipses. Because, you know, that's we get another chance. We can do better.
So let's go back to this notion of eclipses. Because I follow the outer planet transits, and I do track eclipses back a few cycles, but I haven't taken them back into the 30s this time around. And the eclipses that you're talking about are on the resource axis, right? The Taurus, Scorpio, whose money is it axis?
Yeah, there are some changes, though. In 1933, 7 North, that's the one that's coming up next. The one that we have coming up next, we need to talk about. 7 North. It was actually at 5 Pisces 28. And I look at what I call cosmic time links. And we have in 2023 and into early 2024, transit Saturn that everybody's been happy about. Oh, it's in Pisces. Well, yeah. And when Saturn reaches 5 Pisces 28, it's going to trigger that eclipse. And that's going to mean people with the responsibility to carry out the themes of that eclipse. So then we say, well, what are the themes? And it has to do with long hidden passions, sudden passion that catches people off guard, and lust. And because of what's going on now with the MAGA people and, you know, the violence that's being visited upon various people, innocent people usually, I have named it bloodlust. And I'm sorry that I had to do that, but I did. So that's what's coming for us at 29 Aries 50, which also has a violence component because it conjuncts Mars on January 6th, 2021, the insurrection. Mars.
Okay, so the eclipse that's happening in the solar eclipse in Aries, no, in Libra, that is happening in April, is at the degree where, okay.
It's in Aries, the April 20th this year, April 20th.
What am I saying? Of course, the solar eclipse in Aries is at the degree that Mars occupied when, okay.
The insurrection.
All right.
And an Aries eclipse anyway, just basically an Aries eclipse indicates militancy. There we get our militia.
Ruled by Mars. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
But what do you see?
So people are
I'm sorry.
Well, people are talking about violence, or will there be violence for this and violence for that? And, you know, the eclipse is saying very possibly that there will, and it will relate back to the insurrection of 2021.
In general, how do you see a solar eclipse as operating? What kind of impact do you see it having, apart from the sign? What kind of general?
Oh, apart from the signs? Well, I deal a lot with the degrees that they're at. You know, like a degree of, say, this 7 north eclipse in April, if it conjuncts another eclipse at that degree, then I see that as a cosmic time link, and the themes of one can affect the themes of the other.
The other. Okay. All right. Because I also see solar eclipses as a giant reboot.
Yeah.
Like someone's hitting the reset button. Wham, and a new operating system gets put in.
So yeah,
a massive turning point in the whole January 6th issue, growing
out
of that.
Yes, because it's a new moon, and that's the beginning of a cycle. And then the new moon that we've got tomorrow at 1:23 p.m. EDT, sometimes a new moon is strong enough that it can act as a solar eclipse. So
well,
it's almost like we're having... Well, because it's a conjunct the Aries point, which is,
right.
You know...
Conjunct the Aries point, it's square Mars and it's sextile Pluto, so that's a lot of power behind it.
Yes. So it could very well be similar to the action of the Uranian eclipse. And all eclipses are wild cards of the universe.
So yeah, yes.
We don't really know, you know, we're just guessing. We don't really know.
And this is we've reached the second break. So everyone hang in there. We've got lots more to talk about.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
How would you like navigational tools you can use on your own? Visit my site, empowermentunlimited.net, and click the Shop tab. There you'll find lots of talks and guides explaining the big influences at work now, like Saturn in Aquarius and Uranus in Taurus. You'll also find a variety of guided visualizations for relaxing, clearing your energy, or getting to know planetary archetypes. That address again, empowermentunlimited.net.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
If I could be you...
And you could be me? For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to Celestial Compass. I'm talking with Jude Cole of Stars Over Washington, which is a political blog through the astrological lens. And we've been talking about influences on the United States all over the timeline, over a 250-plus year way of going about things. So to kind of pull some things together. Okay, right now we're in the same we're in the gear shift of Pluto moving from Capricorn to Aquarius that occurred between the Declaration of Independence and the states deciding that they wanted to actually look at themselves as united. We've got testing of the, racism, misogyny, and savior-victim issues that were kind of baked into the Declaration of Independence chart. I hate using that verb, but I think it fits. And then we've also been looking at recurrences of influences from the 30s. You have identified certain eclipses that are coming back around again now, and I've brought up the Uranus in Taurus recurrence with changes and shocks and instability in resources and things that were really tangible and fundamental. So what do you see a big picture in all of this? Are there certain things you keep coming back to and going, is there something that's on your radar that you haven't been able to shake about where we are at this point in our country's evolution?
Yeah, I think so. One thing is, and I hate to say this, Kathy, but I have nicknamed the upcoming Seven North eclipse that we're about to have on April 20th as Hitler's birthday eclipse, because April 20th is his birthday. So there's another indication of the past, another indication of karma, another indication of violence, possibly. And, you know, I hate it. I hate saying those things. I hate writing those things, but that's the truth. I'm a Saturnian, by the way.
Okay. Well, you know, that and also explains the surfacing of anti-Semitism so widespread when,
yes,
I guess it's been bubbling below the surface. But I recently learned there's somebody in my neighborhood who's got a swastika tattoo, and this is unthinkable to me that could be going on, but and yet
isn't it terrible? Well, you know, the white supremacy is Aryanism of Hitler. That's what that is.
Yep.
You know, the racial prejudice. And Taurus is very, and it can be very intolerant. So when we see Uranus and Taurus, I believe that was also at the Confederacy. I have the chart somewhere. I don't have it in front of me. But a dark vein of intolerance is what that is. So that's what we're having. And it's dark and it's sinister. That's a good word. It's sinister.
What about the lunar eclipse in Scorpio that's happening in May, that's almost a mirror image of the one that was in place on Election Day?
Yeah, midterm 2022. Yeah, that one. 14, Scorpio 58 on May 5th. Because Uranus was conjunct the lunar eclipse midterms 2022. Mm-hmm. But it was a lunar eclipse day, and Uranus at 16 plus whatever. And when you round that up, what do you get? You get a symbolical battle between swords versus torches. And I relate that to the tiki torches of white supremacists, particularly at Charlottesville in 2017. And 2017, of course, is the first year that Trump was in the White House.
And that ties again to
Pluto anti-Semitism, in Capricorn.
But to, yeah, Pluto in Capricorn being opposite.
It's discovery degree. Yeah. And it's actually, you know, Pluto opposite Pluto, that's actually a struggle for spiritual control. Well, of course, that ties into the religious figures that Trump listens to. That tell him, you know, you're the chosen one. You're the chosen one. Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's for spiritual control because, you know, I mean, there is a spiritual component to things like hating everybody, to persecuting people of color, you know, whatever it is, there is a spiritual component.
And here's the question I have that's slightly sideways of that. When Uranus was conjunct the lunar eclipse that happened on the midterms, it was retrograde. And it is now back at, it's now direct, and it's traveling over that territory again. And my strong perception has been more shoes dropping, not the end of the story, monkey wrenches, and things flipping. Like, whatever happened in November isn't necessarily what is now going to be after we get through that Scorpio lunar eclipse, which, by the way, is within a day of King Charles's coronation, which I find very strange. So, again, we're still connected somehow to that country. So do you think it's far-fetched to look at Uranus going back over where it had been and then flipping the switch and, oh, I don't know, jettisoning a bunch of people who were put in office in November?
Well, every time Uranus goes back to the 16 Taurus in a few minutes, whatever, you know, it's replaying its conjunction to the lunar eclipse, which was the moon. So moon Uranus, what do you get? You get unrest, you get upheaval, you get excited people, you get anarchists, and you can get violent people too.
And the moment that Pluto moves into Aquarius on the 23rd, that's the degree of Uranus. It's at that degree in that ingress.
Wait,
chart.
Say that again. Say that again for me.
At the moment that Pluto moves into Aquarius on March 23rd, Uranus is at that degree. It's at 16.
Oh, yeah. It's been at it. It's been leaving it a bit and then backing up over it a lot.
Right.
So
right,
once again, it's a period of time. It's not just like one thing.
No, I do find it significant, though, that it is at that degree in the ingress chart. So that doesn't that color, I mean, that's like, okay, that's part of this. We got the ruler, we got the ruler of Aquarius at this degree when Pluto moves into the sign of Aquarius. Like, okay, gonna be a lot of things are gonna be shaken up.
Yeah, and technological things too. And of course, we're seeing all this about TikTok.
It's going to end up being much more than TikTok. Also, Bitcoin, big Bitcoin problems. And where is AI going to go in the last week and a half? Somebody programmed one of the chatbots to pass the multi-state portion of the bar exam, and it did.
Oh gosh.
Which is it's not essay. You don't write stuff. Multiple choice. And it's a very unpleasant test. And I just when I read that I went, oh, okay.
You wish you had AI when you were doing it?
No. No. Kind of scared me to learn that, but so there are many, many things we're already seeing are going to be part of this. All right, so I keep talking over you. In our last few moments, any other like overarching things, big themes you see shaping up or evolving or progressing?
Yes, there is. When Pluto reaches zero Aquarius, actually zero Aquarius 29, it will conjunct the new social order, new political order conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, which happened December 21st, 2020. And I'm sure you remember. And so that's a major midpoint picture of Jupiter, Saturn equals Pluto, which involves violent changes, restrictions, separations. Some people will have a total reversal of their plans. And I'm speaking government-wise. I'm not talking about individuals. But there should be some extreme changes to possibly to business activities. Well, of course, we know that because you know, because of the banking stuff that's going on now. Mm-hmm. But it should be a very dramatic time. Some people will thrust themselves onto the stage, and just basically a major change of situation for a lot of people.
Makes sense. Well, that Jupiter-Saturn conjunction certainly encapsulated quite a bit. I mean, I see Pluto going into Aquarius as an elaboration and fine-tuning of what we went through with Saturn in Aquarius, mm-hmm. with the lockdown that immediately started.
Oh, yeah. One more thing, Kathy.
Please. Yeah, go ahead.
Pluto to zero Aquarius in a few minutes is Pluto to U.S. inaugural sun, the president. So when we think of Pluto to sun, we think of domination. We think of possibly the dictatorship that Pluto in Capricorn was promising. I hope it isn't. I hope that's not what it is. But at the least, it should be a lot of power to the president that we're going to have for 2025.
So we have a taste of that in the next 2.5 months?
Maybe, right, it's a process.
It's a process.
Yeah, it's a process.
Yeah, so we get early warning signs of where it's heading.
Right, and if you look at the inauguration 2025 chart, Pluto is, you know, it's pretty close. I think it's like one Aquarius. And then there's the inaugural sun, which is the president. So,
well,
a lot of changes, a lot of dramatic changes.
Yes.
Not necessarily negative. I mean, it doesn't have, you know, it can be a mixture. Like I said before, it can be positive and negative.
And I think it bears repeating that we're still here. That yeah. The country has, yeah. We have lived through this before, and that the early part of Pluto in Aquarius the first time around led to agreements about how the states were going to unite. So
right.
People who are all worked up about secession talk and all, I mean, that's always possible, I guess, but I think the astrology kind of is pointing toward more progressive unity in a weird way.
Yeah, I think so. You know, the seditionists, the ones who want to succeed, red states can't do without blue states. You know,
blue states send more
money to Washington than red states do. Red states take, they don't give. So how they would possibly, and of course, we didn't even talk about the Great American Eclipse coming in April 2024. That's going to split the country from southwest to northeast. That's a whole nother story.
And what you're talking about there is it's going to fall, the path of
the
eclipse.
The path of totality.
Yeah,
the path of totality. And, you know, it's going to cross the path of totality of the Great American Eclipse of 2017, the one that Trump took off his safety glasses and looked straight up at.
Yeah.
In case anybody forgets. But there are three, and the third one of the three is coming in April next year. And, of course, we, you know, you can't help but think that it's going to affect the election, being an election year.
Well, the one in the fall is in this grouping, right?
You're talking about
the total eclipse that's visible in the southwest.
The Great American Eclipse. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. total. Yeah, it is. The one that's coming. We didn't mention the one that's coming in October this year.
Yeah,
it's not total, but it's in Libra, and it's 7 south, and that has a lot of. It's actually the initial eclipse is what you look at in that series, and it has a Mars-Pluto square. So that's a lot of power, anger, and force. But the theme of it is that huge obstacles suddenly clear or a pending potential crisis manifests and moves quickly and ends. So that's not so bad. Could be better, not so bad.
Not so bad. Wow. Okay. Well, all right. obviously, we could talk about a whole lot more. Could you tell people where they can find you?
Well, I'm on Facebook as Judith Cole because Facebook took Jude away from me. that's a long story. And at starsoverwashington.com.
And there, the political lens of your astrology shows up there all the time. As things occur.
Yeah, I'm in my 18th year.
I encourage people to take a look at it because you will think about things in ways that you never ever had. Thank you so much for suffering through your allergies to continue this conversation. I appreciate it greatly, and I enjoy what I see you posting on Facebook. Everyone be safe, and I'll be back in a couple of weeks. Thanks bunch. Bye.